hand, not often, and I hope that you'll use it wisely. So what would you request of me? And the man said, well, he thought for a moment, reflected. He said, well, he lived in California, and he said, I've often got to go to Hawaii. My request is that you build a bridge from Hawaii, Los Angeles over to Hawaii. Just build a bridge so that I can just drive over there and drive back. And God kind of chuckled. And he said, come on. He said, God used the word impossible. It's not impossible, but that's impractical. I mean, you think of all the concrete. You think of all of the logistics involved. You think of the ocean and the miles and all of this thing. I mean, you're not using your request very wisely. That's not a wise decision or request. And I'm a little surprised and taken with you. Give it another shot, one more, and that's all you're going to get. So the man reflectively thought, okay, I better get serious on this one. And he reflected over his life. And he said, okay, Father, here it is. Father, I've been married and divorced 4 times. It is very difficult for me to live with a woman. It's very difficult for me to understand women. It's very difficult to know what to do when they cry, to understand when they're mad and why they're upset and why they're not upset and what to say and what to do. I don't understand their emotional pattern. I don't understand how they think. I just have always had. So, Father, my request then is that you give to me the ability to understand and to think like a woman and to just really be 100% compatible with a woman. And God, after saying, God said, did you want that highway 4 lanes or 5 or 6 lanes? Okay. Now, we are in the midst of studying, not really at this point, pulling this thing together, because this is what caused me so much of my, use the word grief and crisis, and was in the 80s when I was doing the New Commandment of Spiritual Love and moved into Spiritual Love, and then how do we love as Christ loved, and that's what moved me to the spiritual life by faith, and Lewis Berry Chapin, chapter 7 in his book, See That Is Spiritual. And we've been in this study of spiritual love, and then in 95 we lost all of our tapes dealing with spiritual love, and which I'm very thankful for, because it caused us to go back and put things on it, together with it again. Now, last week, I gave you a sheet that dealt with kind of putting where everything is, where we are in our study. And Roman numeral 1 was a new commandment. And then we spent a few moments last week on that. Now, tonight is Roman numeral 2. I'm not going to spend the night on every one of the rest of these because they're so recently we studied them. But we need to, I don't want you to get lost, is what I'm trying to say here. So tonight we're looking at what is spiritual love. You know, that's the major question. What is love? And so let me have one up here. And when I give you one, you can pick up more later. This just helps you have enough for now. And then if John, if you'll give Gary one there. And there you go, if you'll give Gary one. Okay, what you have here, I put together for you, and I guess I need one. Thank you. Okay. Roman numeral 2, and this is not professionally done. I don't mean for it to be professionally done. I could spend the time and do all of that, but this is for us. I'm not going to publish this. But it gives you a feel of where we are in our study. So if you look at this, Roman numeral 2, what is spiritual love? What is this thing called love? And the first thing really helped us was, I think that's probably one of the greatest things that's happened to me in our whole study. If we want to talk about a study of love, is that first statement that is made underneath what is love and what is spiritual love. And that is that love cannot be defined but is described. And I really probably should have said love is not defined in the Bible. Love is described. And I've told you this so many times, but I spent laborious hours and days trying to define love and worked through all kinds of lexicons and dictionaries, biblical lexicons, by that I mean the Greek, the Hebrew, and just couldn't come to anything. And something just happened one day that I'm to realize my studies that the Bible does not define love. What the Bible does is describe love. What the Bible does is describe an environment in your soul and in your life when there is spiritual love and when there is not spiritual love. The Bible doesn't work at any of the definitions. It defines faith. We have some understanding definitions of God, if you want to call them definitions. God cannot be defined. Any definition of God confines God. The moment you think you have worked up a definition of God, you have confined Him. And I promise you that He will do everything He can to just shake you and your definition. He will not fit your definition. So it's very dangerous to think that you can define God. And, you know, just coming off of our joke, if you think you can define and understand women, you don't ever do that. They will show you can't. And so if that's true of a woman, how much more infinitely true of God? God cannot be defined. Okay, spiritual love cannot be defined. Paul says it's beyond understanding, and we've taken a look at what that means. But what the Bible does do, and this is even more powerful, is that it does describe love. I've often been taught, probably throughout my whole life, but especially last, 60s, 70s, 80s, that love is emotionalism, love doesn't have norms and standards, love doesn't this, love that. Just the opposite I found out is true, and that's what we're going to be looking at in our next segment of study, that love has great strength, great power, great norms and standards, and we're going to take a look at all of that. But so we don't want to work on a definition of love. We want to work on a description. What does love look like? What does love look like in my soul? What does love sound like in my life? What does it look like in my life if I want to know that love is present? So, and that's a very important point. And, you know, poets try to define love, and you read poets, and you read various people, philosophers work at it, but love simply cannot be defined, and it just defies all of that kind of thing. Okay, then that took us to the biblical words. That took us to biblical words, of course. Why not start there? And, you know, one of the problems with understanding love is that there's so many kinds of love. There's so many different words for love. And it just goes on and on and on. And so people want to try to give different words. I know people that want to use different words for love in the Bible and instead of calling it love. I like the word love in the English realm because I think all categories that we're going to look at, they contain some common things that do give them that category of being in the category of what we'll call love. But we looked at various Hebrew words, and there are a lot of Hebrew words, several, not a lot. There are several Hebrew words that are used for love. Ahav, we looked at all these words. But what is more interesting than the words? And this is very important in understanding languages and studying languages, is that what we would like to have, we would love to have a Hebrew word for love used just of God. God loves, whether it's Greek or Hebrew. One word, just for God. Then another Greek or Hebrew word for man. Man loves. Maybe even one unique word when it's God. Man loves God. Man loves his dog, or we want a different Greek word or Hebrew word. People, the difficulty of trying to cram, and this is so important. Well, this Hebrew word or this Greek word, no, people, these words in the Greek and Hebrew are used where God is the subject and man is the subject. Where God is the object, man and other things are the object. So we're not going to be able to pinpoint this word means, and then go forth with it. Can't do that. Does it? Well, let me raise my hand. Does it mean that if it's used of an unbeliever loving something? Well, no. But so it's the same word. So you have a problem. And then the, you know, what we like to say, well, in the context where it's of God, when God's the subject and God. So be careful with all of that kind of thing when you're listening to people and they're dealing with words and describing, understanding the words for love. Then you come to the Greek and you start with a word that's not in the Bible, but a word dealing with love is the word eros. And most people know eros from such things like erotica or erotic. But let me just tell you about the word eros. The root of it and the understanding of it, people, it doesn't mean something shameful. When we generally think of erotic, many people immediately go to something like porno. Just because something is erotic does not mean it's porno. But let's just deal with the word eros. It was a beautiful word. It had become corrupt by the time we get to New Testament Greek, Koine Greek. It had become a corrupted word. But the word eros was used for such wonderful things, I think that you and I would agree with, great patriotism, a passion of patriotism. This is your word, eros. Not a fanatic patriot, just a wonderful, that great patriotic spirit. You would have the word eros. You could have the word eros used. Devotion. Just leave the whole physical realm out. Eros used to show a great devotion that involved the whole person. But as I said, and we've studied this for a long time, we spent a long time in all of these. I gave you charts on words and other use. But by the time we come to the Bible, eros had been so corrupt and it had been so associated with the physical passion, sexual passion, and it's so corrupt that therefore the Holy Spirit in the Gospels came up with a fresh word, a Greek word, and that word is agape. Agape. And agape the word is picked. You have the verb agapao, the cognate noun agape, and in the various meanings of this word, and it involves a reasoning attachment, choice, a lot of things that are related to these things. Arapaho. Arapaho is a street on the way to this church for these papers. Agapao. Arapaho is an Indian name. But anyway, agapao refers to a love generally grounded in some value, and we spent some time in that respect. Then we dealt with phileo. Phileo. These two are biblical words, agapao and phileo. Where we get the word Philadelphia, brotherly love, that type of thing. And so this took us to, if you look on our chart, we looked at the attempts to define love, Hebrew words for love used both of God and man, New Testament Greek words also used of God and of man. So we can't say, oh, agape. You know, why don't we, every time it says a biblical love, use the word agape. Well, the word is used by unbelievers. The word is used by man. The word is used by God. The word is used where God is the subject or the object and man is the object. So, we're right back. We're trying to force it. So, we really can't do that. We can't say, agapao love, and kind of get our eyes, you know, our eyes way up there and eyeballs, and, you know, and try to look, you know, heavenly and stuff. It doesn't do that. It just isn't going to lend itself to doing that. And so that caused us some difficulty. Then, so we came up We spent some time then, okay, as introducing all of this. There's something else that affects us 24 hours a day, every millimeter of a second, and that is gravity. We are affected by gravity. And I've had so much fun with the Spirit taking me on the journey of gravity. Gravity is an interesting word and an interesting concept because, people, we're here tonight talking about how we cannot define this thing called love. Well, physicists cannot define gravity. They don't know why gravity. And yet gravity, I've come to realize now and learn so much about it, that gravity not only, don't think of it just in the realm of this earth holding us all to the earth. This holds the whole universe together. Gravity. Gravity is the stars, the moon, everything is held in place because of gravity. That's how powerful this is. And I thought, what a beautiful analogy for love, because if we're right in that God is love, and the place that love is playing in all of this, what's holding everything together is God's love. God's love is holding all of these things together. So physicists cannot define gravity. They cannot explain gravity. And so what do? They define it. We all have in our mind, now maybe we won't go to the point of Samuel Hawkins and various geniuses in the areas of various physics, but we all have in our mind an understanding of gravity, and we can think, though we may never ever see it in our lifetime, if it can even be truly, truly simulated, the absence of gravity. What do you see when you see the absence of gravity in your mind? What does anyone see? What do you see when you see the absence of gravity? Anybody? Just floating around. Just, you know, okay. And that gives us a vision. So what are we talking about? Well, we can describe gravity. Gravity is what holds everything down. We won't say it holds everything in place because it may be fairly chaotic, but it holds it all down so that the whole universe isn't just like that. Take away the gravity, just bouncing around. But everything is held in its place by the function of gravity. But let's stay with the Earth. So, we put a pin down, and the reason this pin will stay there, you sit there, all these things, all this stuff, you know, because of gravity. Everything can define it, but we describe it, and it affects our life immensely, tremendously. For without it, we wouldn't be able to function in the sense that we understand functioning. So that's what spiritual love is about. Spiritual love is about that which holds everything into place, and we spent some time in that regard. And it really helped, the more I began to learn about these things, it really helped as a teaching mechanism, people. As a teaching mechanism. You know, my critics have really come to, oh, I really like everybody, until they get mad, and then they got all the criticism. The teaching mechanism. And as a teaching mechanism, we saw how gravity as a physical material type of a force, as a physical force in the universe, has three qualities of a force, and one of those qualities is direction. One of the qualities of a force, therefore gravity, is direction. So we think of gravity, we think it in terms of a direction, and the direction, of course, is down, pulled down. Okay. So you have a direction. A force, people, when you think about spiritual love as a spiritual force, a force is a push and a pull between two objects. You've got two objects, at least. So you got a push and a pull between the two objects. A force is never stagnant in a, you know, that there are discussions about it. So let me use the phrase. Generally speaking, a force is never stagnant. A force is never stagnant. Love is never stagnant. it's not just going to sit. A force is what makes stagnant things move. Kinetic makes them move. Something that is at rest, the force is what makes it move. Force is what keeps it going in one direction or another, or change direction. So we get a lot of things we can learn about spiritual law from this. Just to give you an example, a force is something that takes a stagnant object and begins to move in a direction. Spiritual love. You and I are the stagnant object. Spiritual love of God, God's love, is what puts us into motion. God's love comes down and puts us into a spiritual motion, moving us from that at-rest state. So there's a lot of things that we can do with this. Okay, spiritual love, or love, has a direction. And direction is very important in love, isn't it? If we're talking about, for an example, if we're talking about romantic love, direction is very important to it. Somebody says, I love you, and then later on they say, I love you to somebody else, and then later on the night to somebody else. Well, that's multidirectional love, and in an area we don't want it to be multidirectional. So direction is very important. So we spend some time in that respect. And so we have to be aware of direction. Then we saw that a physical force, and therefore spiritual love, also has magnitude. Magnitude. The magnitude of love is the measurability of love. What is magnitude? I'll tell you what a lot of us don't like. I'll give you an example that all of us don't like about magnitude. You get on a scale, that's magnitude. And your magnitude increased from yesterday, that's not good. So magnitude is the it can be measured. So we ask the question, can love be measured? Yeah. No greater love hath any man. You must love me more than. Those kinds of phrases talk about magnitude. We talk about what? Increasing our love. Increasing the magnitude of love in our lives. So love is a force that can be measured. And that's the magnitude of love. And then third, and just so important in our example to study this, love has impact or effect. The force has impact or effect, generally speaking. So what is the impact or the effect? Well, that's what our next point of study will be in this. We are going to study 16 impacts of love, 16 effects of love in 1 Corinthians 13. So we'll come back to this. The impact of love. What's an impact or effect of love? Love is long-suffering in your soul. So love immediately is going to have an impact or an effect in your soul. The force of spiritual love is going to have an impact or an effect inside of your soul. So what is interesting here, another way of looking at this is to remind you, what did we study? We studied John 3:16. Okay, what is the direction of his love? For God so loved the world. What is the magnitude of his love? Huh? That he gave his son. That's the magnitude of his love. How much did he love? He loved that he gave his only begotten son. And the impact or the effect of his love? Eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. Now, we just begin with all of this. Is this all academic? No. We begin to think about your love. What's the direction of your spiritual love? You might think of it in your personal love. We'll come to that in a moment. But what's the direction of your spiritual love? One another. Every other believer in Jesus Christ. What is the magnitude of your love? A lot of people don't have very much magnitude. Don't have very much magnitude. They're ready to separate, judge, divorce, get rid of, all of this. What's the impact or the effect of your love toward another believer? I'm not talking about when it's earned or deserved. Talking about when it's not earned, when it's not deserved. So, what is the effect of that? Okay, that brought us in, if you'll notice, from that to point C. A was biblical words, and B was a description. And then C, we looked at the categories of love on earth so that we could communicate with each other. And we just noted for the sake of our study, we divided it up into three categories of love on earth: divine love, human love, and then spiritual love. And divine love, what are we talking about here? When we talk about divine love, we're talking about love that comes from God. And here we spend some time on some charts. His son is the object. The world is an object. The believer is an object. The unbeliever is an object. God has a lot of Mount Zion is an object. So there's a lot of object directions of God's love. And it's a love that comes from God. And from God only in that sense, for the sake of our study. So we just spend some time here. People, God does not choose to love. God is love. God does not cease to love. God is love. God is infinite and immutable. His love is infinite and immutable, which means that His love cannot be improved. His love cannot be changed. God's love is eternal in nature, and therefore, very important, it is eternal in purpose. It is eternal in purpose. We studied the magnitude of His love, of giving His Son. We studied the effect of His love toward us. So we studied these various aspects as to God's love. Now, we spend a lot of time in that, but let's just go to the next one. We looked then at human love. Human love. Again, this gets so complicated, so I tried to make it as simple as possible. Now, first of all, what is human love? Human love. Human love is love that comes from a human being. Please never confuse human love with spiritual love. There's a branch of people talk about virtue love, this type of stuff. People, virtue love is human love. And it's a true statement that virtue love or human love depends on the virtue of the person who loves. But that's not true with spiritual love. But it is with human love. So when you start looking at human love, what you want to do, and it's true, you want to look at the person who loves. And there are some people, just to be humorous and light about a very serious subject, there are people whose love is very fickle. And there are people who love you today and tomorrow, what's your name? There are people, and I'm not talking sexual or romantic, I'm just talking about family, anything, everything. Their love is just very flexible, to be nice to them. And it's what you get an idea once you learn, okay, this is the way that person is. And then you can decide how you want to relate with them at all in a personal way. So you have human love, and we spend some time in human love in that respect. Now, in human love, so that we could talk for a lot of passages in Scripture, we divided it up into three categories. One, you look A. Phileo. Now, what are we talking about, phileo, and dealing with that? Well, for the sake of discussion, this is a love that is directed toward friends, family, parents. This is love, like all categories of human love, again, depends on the person himself, but it gives us something to talk about. Phileo love is... It's often used in discussions about instinctive love. See, here's where people get into trouble when you're trying to take the human aspects of these things, and then we're going to give it to our study of spiritual love. Well, human love is instinctive, so spiritual love is instinctive. That's wrong. You're trying to take from a known and forcing that on the spiritual, and it isn't going to work. Phileo love is generally talked about in being instinctive. We talk about, hey, this is my brother. This is my son. This is my family. I'm sorry. I know they're even wrong. But I'll tell you where it's going to go down. I'm not going to go against my family here. I'm not going to go against my brother. I'm not going to go against my sister. Now, in our private home, we shut the door and I won't tell you what we do to each other. But when it comes to be a public issue, I love them. They're my family. They're my blood. So we talk about a phileo love oftentimes is instinctive. love. Not much more than in that respect. Then we looked at the second category, romantic love. Romantic love in our love complex. This is a love toward another member of the opposite sex. We're not going to deal with perversion. This is a love toward a member of the opposite sex. Romantic love is a process of completion. Romantic love is a process of completion. It's a love that is which is lacking in ourselves, and we have a from Genesis we have a corresponding helpmate, this type of thing, and we spend a lot of time with all of this. And romantic love plays a vital part all the way through Scripture. Filial love plays a vital part. We could go through a lot of these things. The love of Jonathan and David. Romantic love plays an important part all the way through. Romantic love can be developed over a period of time. Romantic love can cause great suffering, great pain, all this type of thing. Now, I had to come up with a third one. I had to come up with a third one because in our home, we were not allowed to say, "Oh, I just love steak." "Well, I don't love food." We didn't do that. But every time we said, "Oh, I love this," "No, you don't. You don't love food. You don't love that." And this. Okay. So, but we say it. I just love mountains. I love ocean. I love Texas. I love my dog. And I love, this type of thing. So I just decided we're going to put all of this under something called value love. Value love. It depends on the person. And some people don't love any animals at all. Some people love animals. And some people love the ocean. Some people love the mountains. Some people love this. Some people love that. There's no understanding here, and there's no judgment. Somebody that really loves animals can't say that somebody doesn't love animals that you're wrong and all of this. Now, if they're cruel to animals, that's a whole other story. But we say, everybody ought to love animals. No. And same thing with just different things, geographical areas and things, material things. What does the Bible talk about? What's the root? The root of all evil in the Bible. Love of money. That's value love. That's not romantic love. That's not phileo love. So what am I showing you here? Value love becomes very important in the Bible and in people's lives. There are people who will allow value love to overrule spiritual love in their life. I love this, and that's all there is to it. I will do God's will as long as it's God, as long as it's in Texas. Well, I'm being half funny, but to make the point, you just cut off the Holy Spirit. I am going to stay in Texas. Now you can add to that, avoid it this way. The Holy Spirit has told me I am never to leave Texas. God's will be done, but I'm not sure that that's the leading of the Spirit. But my point is to use this. Value love can cause you great trouble in the plan of God. The love of money is the root of all evil. All of these things. Phileo love, what happened? Just to show you, what happened with phileo love? Abraham had such love for his father that God finally had to take his father out. His love for a family member actually got in the way of walking in the plan of God. Romantic love, my goodness, we don't even need to begin of all the stories in the Bible about romantic love. Whether you want to call it lust or love or whatever you want to call it, man, woman, love, all the way through the Bible has caused trouble and happinesses and been used by God and by Satan and by man. So these are real things. Don't ignore this segment of our study and understanding the various categories of love that do function on earth. So we looked at value love. Then we spent some time under spiritual love. We didn't spend a great deal of time because that's our whole study. Spiritual love. Now, how does this differ from the others? Okay, we have divine love comes from God and only God. We have human love comes from a human being. Then we have spiritual love. And spiritual love comes from a born-again believer, a new spiritual creature. And that's the only one that can love in spiritual life. So we have three different creatures. Now, God's not a creature. We have God and then two creatures, human and the born-again believer. And only the born-again believer can have spiritual love. And then only the born-again believer filled with the Spirit. A born-again believer not filled with the Spirit cannot have spiritual love. It sounds so simple, but we spent a long time getting here. Now, that brought us in point D in your study, under spiritual love, and this is where, okay, what are we doing in all of this stuff? Titles. I spent some time on titles. The title, actually, titles should be plural, singular there. The title, the function of titles. Function of titles. Why spiritual love? Well, we had years ago, I just finished a study on spiritual gifts. Those of you that were here probably never want to walk that way again. I think my notes, I have a stack of notes that are about, computer notes, the whole stack for the whole series. It may even be more than that. We studied everything you'd want to know about spiritual gifts and more. Then at the same time in another study, I was going into this, and I just, okay, I'm going to call it spiritual love. Now, let's talk about titles. I did not do that to be cute or clever or anything like that. Let's just talk about what titles do, and you have it, some things down here of titles. What a title. By the very title, it helps us. For an example, if I said to you, sexual love, well, everybody come to Bible class. You have an idea of what that means. Whatever we're going to study about it, you got an idea of what it's about. Okay? Spiritual love. Whatever we're going to say about it, you got an idea. It's in the spiritual realm. So just by the title, I picked the title, because just by its title, we know what we're going to be talking about. We're not talking about human love. We're not talking about romantic love. We're not talking about sexual love. We're not talking about value love. We're talking about spiritual love. And then the title tells us the source. You can just kind of read down here the source of this love. The source of this love is, where does spiritual love come from? The Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love is what? It is a fruit of the Spirit. What is the source of this love? The Holy Spirit. Therefore, spiritual love. The emphasis of the power, the Holy Spirit. The dependence of spiritual love. Spiritual love is dependent upon the spiritual being of God. It tells us a lot about this love just studying by the title. The characteristics of this love. The characteristics of this love are in the spiritual realm. The person who loves by this is a new spiritual creature. So what you have, kind of put it in simple terms for you, how we came up with spiritual love, it's from the Holy Spirit to a new spiritual creation, and what comes out of this is a love that has spiritual impact. So we got spirit, so we'll just call it spiritual love. And you know that we're talking about a love that comes only from the Holy Spirit when we're walking by faith. It can come only through a new spiritual creature, and only then when he is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it has spiritual impact. It has spiritual impact. Now, what we had fun doing was we took a nice little spiritual love like this, and then what did we do in some of our studies? We took a nice little string. Thin little string. We called that romantic love, husband and wife. And we wrapped it around this gold bar of spiritual love. And we give it strength. And now it becomes parallel in our lives. And that's what we want. We can do the same thing with phileo. The Same thing with value love. To give it strength. But I want us to understand what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual love. And so often people, and this whole thing opened up for so many hours of wonderful study, you can get value love just going head on with spiritual love. You can get phileo love going head on with spiritual love. You can get all these things going head on with it. In fact, that's what the whole spiritual warfare happens to a lot of Christians. They have trouble dealing with the law and righteousness and spiritual love, and they have them hitting each other rather than going in the same direction. But once we get a grasp of spiritual love and what spiritual love is and where it comes from and the magnitude and the impact, it has a spiritual impact and the effect is spiritual. Everything is spiritual, not physical, and that's so important. People, romantic love is physical. It's between a man and a woman on earth. Now, when I say physical, I don't mean necessarily sex, because we're talking about even as they grow old together. But it's physical. Spiritual love is spiritual, eternal, in that sense. And that's what you want to do in a romantic love or any kind of love situation. So the point D goes on and on and on forever. You study it in all types of counseling situations. You study it in all kinds of problems that people will have in their life. Is understanding these three categories of love, understanding spiritual love, understanding all of these kinds of things, putting all of this together. Then D, we looked at how did Jesus Christ love. Now, all of this took us years. We've gone through it one night. Those of you that have gone through this, took a long time to get to this, to simplifying it like this. How did Jesus Christ love? We admit here, Jesus Christ had three choices. Three choices. One, Jesus Christ could have loved by his deity. He could have loved by his deity. Had Jesus Christ loved by his deity, then we could not love as he loved. I command you to love one another as I have loved you. If he loved by his deity, we're through. Because we are not God, and we cannot love by that deity. Only he can. Secondly, he could have loved by his perfect humanity. Now, had he chosen to love by his perfect humanity, again we're sunk. Because none of us are perfect. We are not perfect. So we're sunk. We cannot do it. And thirdly, Jesus Christ loved by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Bingo! Now I can do that. I can love just like Jesus Christ loved. You can love just like Jesus Christ loved. Why can you do that? Because he gave you the Holy Spirit. And so now every one of us can love just like Jesus Christ loved. You can lay down your life just like he did. He laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16, we have to lay down our lives for one another. You can lay down your life for another believer who doesn't earn or deserve it, in fact, earns judgment, and instead they get your love. Just like we got at the cross. We can love that way. Why can we love like he loved? Because of the Holy Spirit. And then we finally looked at another way to answer the question, how did Jesus Christ love? Jesus Christ's love was what? Sacrificial to whom? Self. Sacrificial to self, and it was beneficial to others. Namely, significantly, his enemies. He didn't earn his love. He couldn't earn his love. His love is unconditional. People, when you find out you're dealing with somebody, and take a warning, even in the human realm, romantic love, phileo love, when you're dealing with somebody who you have to earn their love, always be aware of that. Because if you have to earn their love, that means you can just as easily lose it. If you have to earn someone's love, mark it down, you will lose it. You will lose it. You are not perfect. Period. And I try to tell young people this, and people, you know, out looking for a mate. If you fall in love with someone whose love you have to earn, you will lose it. You will come on, you will be controlled by it. If you you don't do that, you don't do this, well, then here's what's going to happen to us. They will control you by it. You will lose it. It's one of the most horrible situations to be in, is where you have to earn love. But we do not earn His love. His love is given graciously. His love is given non-meritoriously. All we need to do is receive it by faith. Okay. I hope that this helped you in that long day. All those things we studied, and here we went through it in one night. And so it's sort of unfair that somebody can walk in and get it, and we spent years putting it together like that. So, but, okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege and joy it is to always study spiritual love, because when we're studying this love, we know that it is from God the Holy Spirit. It is your love that flows through us by the power of your Spirit when we're walking by faith. It's an overwhelming thought to think that we can love as Jesus Christ loved. At first, Father, we want to say no. No, I can't love like Jesus Christ loved. He was the Son of God. And then we look at your grace and the marvel. We get to us the same source of power that you gave to Him to love, your Spirit. And even when we don't want to love, we can love as you love. When the flesh wants to judge, this love will not judge. This love will lay down its own life, the emblem of the cross. So, Father, we constantly see your love. It's where we come close to understanding your love, and your love is Christ's love. Praise you, Father, for who and what you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Remember, next week we will not be here Tuesday or Wednesday night. Next week.